God's word, Proverbs chapter 4. And we're reading all of it. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it cost all you have. Get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honour you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your own way. I'll read that again. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot rest until they do evil. They are robbed of sleep till they make someone stumble. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil.
Let's pray as we work our way through Proverbs chapter 4. God, our Father, we ask that you might speak to us and speak through us this morning. We pray that you might open up this part of your word that we might both understand you better, but also understand how to live in this world that you have made and placed us in this time that you have made and placed us in. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My name's Jamie. I'm one of the ministers here. I'm married to Amy and we have two boys. Jacob, who is 7 as of this week, and Archer, who's 4. They are chalk and cheese from each other, and in the way that can only baffle you, because you think we're the same two parents and we have raised these kids mostly the same and yet totally different. Totally different. Jacob is a sensitive soul. Archer is more like he could run into a wall and he'll still be okay. But one of the things that Archer has going for him is not just this resilience, but he has an ability to be decisive that neither his father has, nor his mother, nor his older brother. And so maybe just being 4 years old, he's gone, someone's got to take charge here, and so it might as well be, it must be me. And he does so. But the ability to choose is actually what they say is one of the key markers of success. And they almost say, in fact, the research is, it actually doesn't matter in a large part, in the business world at least, they say, whether, and in the leadership world, whether you make the right decision or wrong decision, but the ability to decide is the significant determining factor. One of my favorite films, well, actually it's not one of my favorite films, but I struggle to decide what are my favorite films. But one of my favorite scenes from any film is in the film Hurt Locker. In Hurt Locker, it is based off this young guy who, his whole job is to defuse bombs in Iraq during the war. And he has an incredible ability to make decisions under pressure. Like, enormous pressure. Do I cut the red wire or do I cut the blue wire? And if he makes the wrong call, dozens of people, like the school will blow up and school children will be killed as a result. And yet he has this ability to make the right choice to decide in these pressure situations. My favorite scene is right at the end of the film. He goes back home. He goes back home and he is with his girlfriend and their newborn baby, and she sends him out to the grocery store to get some food. And the next scene is him holding a shopping basket in the cereal aisle, and he's standing there and there's 50, 60 different types of cereal. And in what I think is a quite profound shot, no commentary, nothing, he's frozen. And this guy who has an incredible ability to make the right choice in extreme pressure is frozen by the enormity of the choices that there are. And he can't choose. And we live in a society where actually we are faced with more choices than almost ever before. It used to be that what you did for work, you had three kind of options. You would do what your father did, if you were a guy. You could join the military. Or you could join the priesthood. And so they're your three choices. If you want to look at, okay, who am I going to marry? It's like, well, there are five guys in the village. Two of them are my brothers. And, well, Trevor still has most of his teeth, so let's go with him. But now the choices are overwhelming. And we find ourselves in a society which then is frozen to choose. And what does this have to do with wisdom? Everything. Everything. Because wisdom is all about your ability to choose the right thing in this world that we live in. To navigate this world well. How is it that we are to live and navigate and walk in light of how life really works. And so this is why Solomon starts chapter 4 saying, "Listen, my son, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching, for I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. He taught me and he said to me." So what he's saying here is, what I'm going to be passing on is not just my wisdom, not just my words, not just my knowledge, but my father's. Your grandfather's. This wisdom is, he's making the point, old wisdom. It's tried and tested. It has seen the cradle and it has seen the grave. We live in a society which thinks new is good. They lived in a society which had the complete opposite perspective, which was that if it's new, it's probably naive and hasn't been tried and tested. And if it's old, well, it's lasted the test of time. And so his point here is, this wisdom is old wisdom. And some of you grandparents are thinking, well, just because your grandfather's old, really? Are we calling that old? Solomon is, and he says, this is what he taught me. Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commandments and you will live. That this has seen the highs and the lows. This has seen the valleys and the troughs. This has seen the mountain peaks. Seen riches and it's seen struggle. Take hold of it with all your heart and you will live. Why? Because if you look at verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. That's what he's saying. So take hold of it. Take these words I'm saying and don't just hear them. Don't just hear them and then go away and forget about them. Hear them and take hold of them. Grasp them. Let them sink down deep into your heart. Have it so that if someone was to cut your heart open, that in every part in the DNA they would find these words. Knitted in. Absorbed in. Because from everything you do will flow from it. That your heart is the waterfall. It is the wellspring from which everything else flows. It is the tiller that directs your life. And not just your life, but every part of your life. And so it is worth spending some time reflecting on this question. Not, what do you believe? But spend some time reflecting on, where does your heart turn? Not, what do you believe, but what does your heart turn to? Because whatever your heart has determined as its ultimate love, whatever it turns to, that will be the driving force that will determine every decision of your life. But also notice this. Notice that it's not like we're passive agents just along for the ride to our hearts. Notice that we aren't just kind of slaves to it, or that we're kind of have we're on the roller coaster that is our hearts, and we've had those seatbelts locked in and we're just watching. But rather, we can inform our hearts, shape our hearts, guard our hearts, that what we do does affect our hearts. And our hearts affect everything. See, if money is the thing that your heart turns to, if money is not simply a good thing, here's what will happen. You'll take jobs that bring you no joy in life. You will take jobs that contribute not good to others or good to your family, but rather because they will increase your paycheck. I have a friend who is in finance, and he's a young guy, really charismatic guy, and I was meeting up with him pretty regularly, and as the conversations went over periods of months, he was excelling in this world of finance. And I was nervous because of just how he was talking about, once I get to this level, then I'll be earning this kind of paycheck. And it was a huge amount of money. But I saw the way it pulled him away from church, and I saw the way it pulled him away from community, and I saw the way it pulled him away from good friends who cared for him. And it was always spoken of as, once I get there, well then I can be more generous, and I can be I can get a property in X suburb, and then I'll be able to. And I said, okay, but what's the next step after that? And he said, well, once you get to this bar, you can then become partner, and actually you get two extra zeros on the end of your paycheck. So instead of making $400,000 a year, you can make close to $2 million a year. And this is a 21-year-old guy. And he said, and then if you become a major partner, you actually get close to $20 million a year. And I said, what are those guys' lives like though? He said, oh, I don't know any of those guys. So, okay, well, what about like the other guys? He said, well, he said, funnily enough, the guys that are all on just the partner level, they're all on their fourth or fifth marriage. Makes you think. Where money becomes not just a good thing or a tool to be used, but where money is the drive of your heart, it will cost you everything. And you will make sacrifices for it. Where romantic relationships become the driving force of your heart, where your heart turns, you will either A, find yourself single and never satisfied or content, or B, you will find yourself married and never satisfied and content. Because you will find that what you thought marriage would do, it never could do. And actually was never promised to do. And so you will find yourself either compromising for a relationship with somebody that actually isn't a good person to help you to flourish in life and marriage. And I've seen that happen. because they're so afraid. The worst thing they can imagine is being single for life. There are worse things than being single for life. Or you go into a marriage and you you're so picky, that you no one is ever good enough. Or in your marriage, let me read this because I'll get confused otherwise, and it's important to be clear on this, that in your relationship, you will be filled with anger and frustration whenever your partner lets you down, because your heart is expecting them to be and to hold a kind of love, fulfillment, hope and satisfaction that they were never made to hold. And if you place that kind of expectation upon your partner, it will crush her. It will cripple him. It will be the undoing of that marriage or relationship. Equally, like, I could do this 1,000 times, right? Children, if children are the be-all, the driving force of your heart, if children are the ultimate thing to your heart, here's what will happen. You will either over-discipline when they do not live according to what you would like them to live. And you feel the need to be in total control of their life and find yourself frustrated and bitter when they don't. Or you will under-discipline them because you can't stand the thought of them being upset with you. And either one is actually going to ruin your relationship with your children. We could do this 1,000 times with physical appearance, happiness, holidays, pleasure, the approval of others. And the result, Proverbs 4 tells us, is that if you follow these things, you will be a fool. You will grow more angry, more empty, more frustrated, more lonely, more bitter, less and less humble, and ultimately you will find yourself stumbling in the deep darkness, not just the darkness, but in the deep darkness, unable to see your hand in front of your face, and you will be stumbling and be unable to tell or to know why it is that you are tripping. A couple of years ago, saw an interview with someone who became one of the youngest women ever to hold the first chair violinist in an orchestra. Incredibly, I think she was 19 or something crazy. And she was interviewed and they said, how did you accomplish such an incredible feat? She said this, she said, it was easy. I just sacrificed everything for it. Everything. Parties with friends, sleep. I got up early on Saturday morning, practiced 3 hours. I didn't have a part-time job. I just practiced. Finances, we spent thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for tutoring all week, every week. It costs, it's easy, just sacrifice everything for the goal. Everybody, whether religious, atheist or humanist, like Ernest Becker recognizes that human beings, like a compass pointing north, our hearts are built and driven to look for a beauty, a glory, a purpose to give us meaning and satisfaction. And all of us, all of those things will cost us everything. And so the only question is, Well, what are you going to direct your heart towards? Or what will you let your heart be directed towards? And the plea of Solomon to his son is, let it be wisdom. Let it be wisdom, for where it turns, if it turns to wisdom, if wisdom is true north for your heart, you will find life itself. It will cost you everything, but in it you will find everything. And you will find everything, but it might not be a light switch. Might not be a quick thing. Did you notice throughout the passage the journey language? A beginning. Of walking on the way, the path. Though it will cost you all you have, you will gain life. But that life does not come, it's not a light switch. The way of wisdom, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths, verse 11. Verse 12, when you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Verse 14, do not set your foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Verse 15, avoid it. Do not travel on it. Verse 18, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Notice the progress, the gradual kind of language that is happening. And this is the difficult thing about the Christian journey and the Christian life. The Christian life, sometimes, the hard thing is, if I'm honest, is sometimes it feels like you're never making any progress. Can I be honest about that? Sometimes it feels like you're not making any progress. And actually, the reason why you feel that is because you are making progress. When I was 17, 18, 19, I caught up with an older guy called Jim. Jim was one of the guys in the church that was in his 80s, one of these prayer warriors, and we would catch up on a Thursday morning, and we would just talk life, we would read part of the Bible, we would then go out onto his kind of back porch, and his wife Faye would come bring some tea and coffee and some stale biscuits, and we would talk and pray together. And I remember being like 17, 18, 19 and thinking, I've got kind of four big kind of things that really my heart is wrestling with and that I need, by the grace of God and the work of His Spirit, to fix in my life. And maybe two minor things. And not that then I would be perfect, but, you know, I'd be 80% of the way there, or would it, you know, I'd be a good chunk there. Now, 15 years later, I've got about 12 big things in my life that I'm struggling with, and seven minor ones, and two small boys. That I'm struggling with. But one of the best things about meeting with Jim was this. He said to me one time, he said, Jamie, even after walking with Jesus for 70 years, I am still needing to press into the cross every day for grace.
And that is what 18-year-old Jamie McKenzie, struggling with sin, needed to hear. Even after walking with Jesus for 80 years, I would still need to keep pressing into the cross for grace, and grace would be given. And I need to hear that. And Jim shared about how part of the Christian life is, when we first become a Christian, it's almost like God only reveals this much of our sinfulness. And then as we grow and as His Spirit works, the blinders are open little bit by little bit, just in God's wisdom, what He knows we can handle, so that we realize, oh, wait a sec, there's this part of my heart that I didn't see here, and there's actually termites in there, or poison in there that I need to get taken out. And He reveals more and more of our heart over time that He is working on by grace. And so it never feels like you're making progress, but that's because by the grace of God, through the Spirit of God, you are making progress. He is at work revealing sin and showing how sufficient His grace is despite our sinfulness. Despite our sinfulness. And so the plea is, listen, my son, to a father's instructions. Pay attention. Let it sink down deep. And above all else, verse 23, guard your heart. Think about that this week. Where does your heart turn, and how are you going to guard your heart? Because guarding your heart is more important than locking your car at Westfield. You can have your car stolen and you will be okay. But too often we think too little about what we feed our heart through what we watch. What is it that we're watching? How's that shaping our hearts? What is it that we're listening to? How's that shaping our hearts? What is it that we're reading? How is that remolding our hearts? How do I guard my heart? Because even the word guard would seem to imply that if you are passive, it's not going to happen. Why? Like the old hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the Lord I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. So the proverbist is saying, you are prone to wander, so is your heart, so guard it and guard it well. Don't let it step to the right or step to the left. What is the left and the right that you are prone to step? And guard your heart. Don't trivialize flirting with the secretary in the office. Don't downplay the way that when you are miserable, you lash out. Don't minimize the way that you shop online in order to kind of numb your pain. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze before you. Your heart is going to pursue something. Career, pleasure, control. It's going to pursue something. Let it pursue wisdom. Make it pursue wisdom. Wrangle it. Grab it by the horns. And yank it back to point towards wisdom. Because everything else will demand your life from you. Only wisdom will give you life. It'll demand your life, but it will give you its life. Because only wisdom, only Christ says, I will lay my life down for you. Everything else says, you lay down your life for me. Only Christ says, only wisdom says, I will lay my life down for you. Because wisdom is a person. And his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we sung just earlier, we have a refuge in your wounds, that there we find salvation. We pray that you might help us direct our lives, our hearts, all of our beings towards who you are and living well in this world in light of who you are. Help our whole lives, every fiber, every atom, every part of our DNA to be directed and shaped towards the goal of making much of you, we pray. Amen.